Greetings and salutations, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Curtain Call, where I spotlight the magic of theater one conversation at a time. And I'm your host, Tom Candela, tonight and every night. Tonight, we're talking about longevity, legacy, and the future of the performing arts. For instance, what does it take for an arts organization not only to survive, but to thrive for 40 years? How do you bring an art form often associated with the world's great cities to a rural community? How do you attract new audiences, inspire young people, and remain relevant in an ever-changing cultural landscape? Those are just some of the questions we'll explore as I celebrate the 40th anniversary of the Delaware Valley Opera Company. We're going to take a look back at a season that included everything from children's opera to immersive contemporary works and Mozart's Don Giovanni. We'll discuss the success of a recent anniversary gala, and we're going to examine the importance of collaboration among local arts organizations and preview an exciting summer season featuring the Mikado and the Magic Flute. So the orchestra is tuning up, the house lights are dimming, and the first act begins right now. Today, we're going to be celebrating a remarkable milestone in the cultural life of our region. For 40 years now, the Delaware Valley Opera has brought the beauty, power, humor, and emotion of opera to audiences throughout Sullivan County and beyond. What began in 1986 as a grassroots effort fueled by a handful of dedicated volunteers has now grown into a respected professional company, one that now calls the Delaware Valley Opera Center in Lake Huntington its permanent home. Fresh off a successful 40th anniversary gala, or is it gala? And preparing for productions of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado and Mozart's The Magic Flute, Delaware Valley Opera is celebrating its past while looking confidently towards its future. And joining me on the show today is Suzanne Dvorkin, president of the Delaware Valley Opera, and Carol Castell, the artistic director and general manager of that opera company. Carol and Suzanne, welcome to Curtain Call.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here, and I appreciate you coming in to the studio to talk with me today. I mentioned at that opening there about the gala, which was just this past weekend. When we spoke last year, Suzanne, on the show, you were talking about the possibility or the idea of the gala happening.
Yes.
Now it has happened. I saw a lot of the pictures and looked through them all. It looked like it was a great evening attended by many people. Now that it has happened, what stands out in your memory about that accomplishment, Suzanne?
All the people that bonded together to make it happen,
mm-hmm.
not just the board, but our volunteers. And there were several people from the community, the gentleman that conceived and designed the way the building looked and the decor of the party.
Yeah,
we had several people in the food industry that helped us by donating desserts because it was only a dessert buffet.
Okay.
And that was lovely to work with them, and I got to meet a couple of new people, which is always nice in the community, to see all of the singers come together. And some of them have been with us for a long time, and others were relatively new. I got to sing something, which is always fun. So that's
Yes, that's right. I saw you. Were you the one? I wasn't sure if it was you. I was looking through the pictures. Did you have that cat makeup?
Yes.
It was you. Okay.
It was me. I was the black cat.
Uh-huh.
And then Emily Storrs was the white cat.
Okay.
And we did the Rossini cat duet, which
wonderful.
Is very fun.
So it was a good turnout?
Very good turnout. We were very pleased.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Hopefully you raised enough money to continue on in your mm-hmm. endeavors.
Yes.
Well, Carol, it featured a lot of music.
A lot of music.
Okay. It featured both opera and operetta. And we're going to get a little bit later on, we're going to talk about the difference because you are doing an operetta and you're doing an opera this mm-hmm. season. Mm-hmm. And it's important, I think, for the listeners to understand the difference between the two. So we'll talk about that. But it also had some, was it Broadway show tunes in there as well?
Yes.
I think, right? And some concert works.
Which is essentially America's operetta.
Okay. That's true. I mean, when you think about what operetta is, was that a sort of a precursor to the American musical theater? So a very diverse selection of music and people as well. Why is that important to your repertoire?
Thinking for the gala particularly was to have very accessible music, but also entertainment. We wanted it to be lighthearted and fun. And there's some surprises in the literature that a lot of people don't know, like the fly duet. Uh-huh. this Greek story that's so serious, and then Jupiter turns himself into a fly and tries to seduce someone. I mean, there's some very funny, clever things in opera, and I just wanted to have an evening of nobody dying.
Yeah, there's a lot of death in opera, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot of emotion, but it's just to be fun.
Yeah.
And it was. We had two halves, and there were a total of 9 scenes. Mm-hmm. And in between each scene was a setup. I would set up what was happening in the next scene and why it was there. And briefly, then add some little notices here and there and some pleas here and there and some information here and there. So that's kind of the format of it. We almost couldn't get out of intermission.
Really?
People were having such a good time, we couldn't call them back. Was fun.
So the gala, mm-hmm. Sounds like it was very successful,
yes.
Would you say, overall?
Artistically and community-wise, yes. Mm-hmm. We have no idea yet what the financial success was.
But okay. Well, hopefully that was a success as well.
There's
so many theaters here in our community, as we've discussed on the show many, many times, and people have to contribute to keep that going. And whether by showing up to one of the performances or to actually giving money or to showing up at the gala or something like that, it's very important. But I mentioned again in the opening, Suzanne, since the early 80s that your company was formed, am I correct?
Yes.
86 or so. By the original members back then, what do you think, 40 years later now, what do you think the original founders would have said sitting in the audience at the gala on Saturday night? Either one of you could take that, but
I think I'm going to pass that to Carol since she's been with the company so much longer than I have.
All but 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah, 39 years. I've got gray hair, see?
Well, there you have it. So you're almost one of the founders yourself.
I did the very first show, which was Fledermaus. They did some scenes at first, and they asked me to come up and stage them. And then we did a full-length operetta.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, one of our founders is still on our board.
Oh,
as an emeritus, and that's Carol Diefenbach. She is our information. What happened here and what happened there, she would tell you. And a lot of the people I knew, most of them are either moved away or are deceased. Mm-hmm. But 40 years is a long time.
It is. It is.
When you think back on it. And I think they would be maybe in some way astonished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you've gone this long or that it's...
That it stayed alive that long.
Okay.
Because it's odd, but there are people we talk to about the opera company. They go, we have an opera company?
Right.
And they've lived up here for years.
Right.
They don't even know we're here. And it's not like we don't advertise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we have one. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I think we have a constant battle with this image of opera, which I think is a damn shame. Mm-hmm. Because opera is no more than just musical theater of another country, of another time. And it's acoustic rather than electronic. Yeah. Other than that, great plays. They're all the same, like Camille, Traviata. They're often from other plays. It's a good theater. All the art forms at one time, in one big lump.
Yeah.
You can go see the same opera a million times, though, and see a different show every time.
Yeah, it's a good point. That's
different singers. Every single instrument is different. It's not listening to a violin. Every instrument is different, and they're organic, very different. So how do those people do that? And we've gotten some people from the country music and singer-songwriter group to come to see what we do. And the first time we did it, the one comment that I got from him first was, I don't know how they do that.
Mm.
How do they sing like that? And I said, a lot of work.
Yeah, years of training.
It's to be commended. It's exciting to hear. Mm-hmm. So I think they would be astonished. I think they'd be pleased. Mm-hmm. It might not have turned into glimmer glass in 5 years.
Right.
But took 40 years. But when you consider our county, it's kind of miraculous in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're right to point out that opera has so many different aspects to it. It has music, certainly. It has singing, but it has also a lot of comedy.
A lot of comedy.
Yeah, it has a lot of drama. You mentioned before somebody dying. Many of these famous operas, you know, that deals with death and people dying or maybe dying. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to it. And certainly as far as musically, beautiful music, mm-hmm. the orchestration of the pieces, it has some beautiful orchestration. So there's a lot to opera that a lot of people don't understand.
They don't. They think, I can't understand the words. Well, there's so many languages going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the music is a language on its own.
Right.
I mean, have you ever listened to television without the soundtrack?
Yeah.
You can't. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. Because it's telling you how to feel. It's telling you what's going on.
Right. That's true. The music is.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
Considering they've been around a long time. These things are time-tested.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think you mentioned, again, where we live, so a lot of people don't have the exposure mm-hmm. to opera. And we talked about this, too, last year, Suzanne.
Yes.
About how one of the hopes that you had for the upcoming year last year was to make opera even more accessible and more recognizable, I should say, to make more people come into the theater and accept opera. Have you felt that you've made some movement in that regard?
Yes, I believe we have. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the deciding which shows we were going to do for this year, because they're very well known. And almost anybody that has ever heard of opera has heard something from Magic Flute, even if it's been in an elevator going up to
the building. Or Carmen or something.
Yeah. So that's why we chose the two shows that we've chosen. And I think we're getting much closer to reaching what was my personal goal as the president of the company, is to allowing people and bringing in people, gathering people into understanding that it's entertainment. You go because you'll have a good time.
Right.
And also, any of us will answer any questions about anything. If anyone has a question about something, mm-hmm. and I say this to the board a lot, just come and ask us and we'll explain it to you.
Yeah, explain the show to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and we do sing in English.
That's what I was going to say. That was my point, is that it is sung in English with the Delaware Valley Opera.
Not that you can understand anything above an F, but yeah, we do sing in English. But when you compare it to like Entertainment Today, okay? Look on television. What are the most popular television shows? Serial killers or policemen or...
That's true. Or reality shows. Yeah. Reality shows.
And then the quote, docudramas. Well, you know what?
That's opera.
That's opera. Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody dies. Well, go watch television and tell me somebody doesn't die.
Yeah.
A lot of it was because there wasn't a television. Mm-hmm. So the subjects were always very dramatic because people's lives were so mundane. And whether we like to think of it or not, ours are too.
Yeah.
We've worked as a civilization, to keep our lives mundane. We don't want saber-toothed tigers. We don't want danger. We want to live comfortably, and then we can be entertained safely. So opera's like safe emotion.
Yeah.
But it's all about the human condition, which I think there's always levels, don't you think, mm-hmm. Suze?
Yes.
That there are levels. There's the entertainment level. There's the character level. There's the story level. There's the conflict level. Mm-hmm. And all of it is about how people react to certain situations. And war is always war. Love is always love. Mm-hmm. Betrayal is always betrayal. So it's all the same big subjects, just in different guises. And we learn a lot about ourselves.
Yeah.
Or about who we are.
Yeah.
Or who we don't want to be. I think there's something in it for everybody. And to us, from the beginning, it's a mission. Like you said, people don't know about it. Well, that's why we're here.
Right.
And we're here because most of the people around in our area haven't had the exposure to it. Mm-hmm. And we want them to have that richness in their life like we have in ours.
I would add, by the same token, on the other side, one of the most popular forms of television are the contests, like The Voice and America's Got Talent and Britain's Got Talent.
Well, reality shows, yeah.
Come see our talent, because mm-hmm. our talent is incredible.
Yeah.
Both the people that sing here locally, that they're local, and those that want to come and sing with us from New York, Philadelphia. I mean, we had the woman that sang Jessica, that sang the Susanna last year or 2 years ago. She came from California.
When I came to see the nightly news last year, I spoke with three or four of the performers, mm-hmm. and they were all from New York City. Mm-hmm. And each one of them had something really nice to say about the direction of the show, the director herself, and the environment in which they came from New York City to here.
Right.
So they had a lot of good things to say about you. So you have that reputation, I think, among the opera community in New York City, because you've got people coming up, wanting to come up here mm-hmm. and wanting to be part of the Delaware Valley mm-hmm. Opera mm-hmm. Company. So that's a good thing. That's movement forward. Mm-hmm. And they don't really realize it without going out and seeing it and experiencing it, particularly with a company like yours, where you are singing in an English, mm-hmm. where it is understandable, where you're seeing sometimes your community member, somebody you might know, or one of the two of you mm-hmm. performing on stage. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a very, very important thing to stress, is that this is a community effort, this theater of yours. But I do want to speak to your season last year. I mentioned the nightly news. We talked a lot about that, Suzanne, last year. And this was more for young people.
Yeah.
So how important is that to, and either one of you could take this, to address, to get the young audience, introduce them young to the form of opera so that they don't form that stigma later on in life and saying, opera, I can't deal with that. So how important is that?
Vital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's vital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to give you an example, I had to laugh, although it was so sad. We have an orchestra for one show a year, because that's what we could afford.
Sure.
And apparently somebody's friend had come to listen to them. I think it was a trombonist or somebody, a flutist or I don't know, one of those. And they came to the box office and said, I have a comp, and I just want to see my friend. And it turns out they were in the pit. We go and talk to her. And then as the person was walking away from the box office, turned his head and said to her, is this an opera? Mm-hmm. And the woman said, well, yeah. He turned right around and ran out of the theater.
Really?
Like it was going to
like burn him?
I went, oh, my goodness. I mean, is that what we're up against?
And he didn't even say hello to his friend?
He didn't even say hello to his friend.
That's crazy.
That shows you. It's like, whoa. Yeah. That's really ridiculous.
Nobody ran after him? I would have run after him and said, give us a chance.
Yeah. Standing there with your mouth open going, what are you doing?
I know, really. Yeah.
It's like, who would have believed it?
That's insane. Insane.
But the children, if you hear the word opera, if their parents don't know what it is and they say, you know, oh, I hate opera. And my next question is always, well, how many have you heard? Mm-hmm. Which one did you hear? Oh, I've never seen one.
Yeah.
I said, okay.
I think a lot of it comes from what you see maybe on television or maybe hear about, and it usually is sung in a different language. So if you're not willing to listen to the music and hear that the beautiful sounds, you might turn it off.
Well, simply, yeah, because immediately it's like a knee-jerk reaction. Right. Oh, it's in French. I don't know French. That's highfalutin.
Right.
Makes
right.
me feel stupid because I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And I think an awful lot of this is that they just feel, I don't understand. I don't want to be faced with the fact that I don't get it.
You know what? That's a really good point, because I think I've had mm-hmm. that too myself mm-hmm. growing up. I don't know if I want to take on that challenge. It's like I mm-hmm. have to work to
isn't.
Understand it.
Yes, mm-hmm. but it isn't.
Yeah.
And that's what they don't
Certainly
know.
Isn't with what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Every single program will give you a synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know the base, it's not complicated. The stories are usually they're not intricate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're usually pretty simple.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, because I found that if you do know the synopsis, if you do when that's happening and from act to act, scene mm-hmm. to scene, mm-hmm. even if it's sung in a different language, you can get it.
Oh, it becomes incredibly obvious.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, yeah, because it is obvious opera. Opera is not subtle.
It's not subtle. Anyway.
Right.
It's not. Yeah. It's all out.
Yeah. Yeah. So the nightly news.
Oh, that was fun.
Did it help advance that mission, do you
yes,
think?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, for the kids, yeah.
And what we did with, we didn't do a children's opera this year because of the gala. Kind of took the place mm-hmm. of it.
Sure.
But we do like to do a children's mm-hmm. thing every year because, for that exact reason. For one thing, it's something for children and that's good outreach. But also, I think they need to know about it. It's an educational thing.
Yeah.
We also have a craft thing. Kids, if they have to wait 20 minutes for other people to come, they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had this like craft thing. They come into the craft
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they can play around with whatever it is. And it's always related to the opera. like nightly news, we had crowns for them to make and jewels to put on the crowns and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, and our board member and our financial officer, Deborah Courtwright, was the one that started that. Mm-hmm. She's
very good
always done crafting with her children when they were young, and then now she's got grandchildren, and now she's even got a great-grandchild or two. And she was prepared. She said, I've got tons of craft stuff. Let's just set up a craft table and they can color. And
brilliant.
They can, yeah, that's one of the aspects of one of the components of the children's opera is that they can sit and color something that's going to look like a character, or like Carol said, the crowns mm-hmm. for the prince in nightly news. We had
Pinocchio, we made puppets.
Pinocchio, we had little puppets that we.
That's great.
And so it's fun, and they get to take it home.
They'll have something at home to remind them, too, which is what I think is good.
Yeah, there was, yeah, there's a.
I went to the opera and I got this.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah, and so then you're affecting them at a very young age, and that's your goal. All right, we'll go now to speed dating tonight. That was sort of something kind of new idea from last year.
But speed dating tonight is written by
Michael Chin.
Michael Chin, and he. It's got 170 scenes. You pick which ones you want.
Mm.
So I'm thinking, oh, well, that's cool. But boy, it took a long time to go through all those scenes to decide what you wanted to do with them and which ones you wanted.
Mm.
But it's very interesting.
Okay.
And it's terrific for young groups like high schools and things because you can always pick music that is approachable vocally as well as for an audience and stick it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a funny concept.
Mm-hmm.
But that was fun.
Yeah, and certainly different. Certainly different. Yeah. And again, keeping with that goal of yours to introduce new people into opera, did you find that the audiences responded the way you wanted to this, that you had a kind of imagined they would?
A little different than I expected them to. I think a lot of it was because, well, we actually had two or three people come thinking it was a speed dating situation.
Mm. They came ready to date?
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Really?
They did.
Oh,
wow. They came ready to date.
They were dolled up and everything?
I said, well, it says right on there, opera. Bye.
Oh, that's funny.
That was odd, but...
Did they stay?
No, of course not.
Oh, no? Oh,
no,
wow.
No, they didn't stay.
Wow. So how did they figure it out?
They came and realized it wasn't.
Okay. All right.
They wanted to know how many boys, how many girls, things like that. And the box office people, I think you have the wrong idea.
Yeah.
This is theater. This is not a chance to meet somebody, sadly, but then you never know.
That's right.
Because it was an immersive show. And then there were several people that were really moved by the pathos of some of the scenes.
Mm. The lonely people that come to that kind of thing.
The characters, not the people in the audience.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So people were touched emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it.
Nice.
That's one of the goals.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Again, it's theater.
Yeah.
It's theater. And theater is to affect people. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
To transform them in some respects mm-hmm. as well. So basically, you found that they, aside from those few who actually came to date, that they responded very well to it. It was successful.
It was successful as far as that's concerned, but we didn't get as many people come in as I had hoped. I think it's because they just didn't know what it was.
Right.
Actually, if you are just joining us, we've been speaking with Suzanne Dvorkin and Carol Castell of the Delaware Valley Opera Company. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the second half of our conversation. It's a good place to do that before we talk about Don Giovanni.
Hi, Ira Flatow here from Science Friday. We view Sci-Fry as a refreshing break from the daily bombardment of political news. You know, there's lots of important and interesting science and technology out there. Whether it's the deep, dark mysteries of the universe or your deep, dark microbiome, it's all right here. So start your weekends with thought-provoking news on Radio Catskill.
Sign up for Radio Catskill's free weekly newsletter. Get the latest local news, culture, and things to do in your inbox every Friday. Stay connected and informed with Radio Catskill's newsletter. Subscribe at WJFFradio.org.
Hi, I'm Donna Fellenberg. Join me Saturdays at 11:30 on Catskill Character for fascinating characters of the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, only on Radio Catskill.
And we are back to the second half of our conversation. Today's guests I have in studio are Suzanne Dvorkin and Carol Castell. These are the creatives over at the Delaware Valley Opera Company. We were just starting to talk about, before the break, that is, we were just starting to talk about Don Giovanni, which was your formal opera last year. What challenges did this big opera present, Carol. Did you direct that one last year?
I did.
Okay. So what were some of the challenges you faced?
Local challenges. It's a big sing for almost everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of different seeds. It's Mozart. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't fake Mozart.
Right.
So, but we had great singers, really good singers. I think that was the biggest challenge, other than the fact that it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness I don't have to deal with the orchestra. It's long, so you have to keep the arc of the piece interesting.
Sure.
We don't have the kind of money or resources, I should say, to make huge sets and fly things and have every visual look different. Mm-hmm. We just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
We put our money into the singers, into the actual product. And that was a perfect example of how that works.
Right.
And when you think about it, it's like Shakespeare. Shakespeare hardly has any, they never need scenery. People come out and talk and they go away and somebody else comes out and talks. And
yeah,
goes away. You know what
point.
I mean?
Yeah,
they really don't. Maybe they'll have a chair or a table or something. But I love the story. I love how it works. I love the layers of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Just really magnificent.
I want to say that with everything we do, we try to improve the building or add a component that is theatrical. And so for Giovanni, he has to go to hell. You have to figure out how to do that. So our crafts carpenters extraordinaire, Barclay Latimer and Keith Eisenstark, did their research. And we cut a hole in the stage and made a trap door. And they worked on that for a long time and made sure it was very safe and everything. So that was exciting. And I was involved in some of that because they were like, okay, Suzanne, we need to cut a hole in the stage. And I was like, excuse me?
Yeah. You're going to what?
Yeah. But we've used it. And actually
right.
now.
Never ending story.
And never ending story. Yes. River Rep uses it. So now I said, we're going to have to make this work. Everything's going to have, somebody's going to have to go down inside of it for every show we do. But it worked well.
We also used projection for the first time.
That's true.
Oh.
We had the fire all over the stage of the projection.
We should make a mention of the space. It's a beautiful space that you have there. We talked about this last year, too, about your purchase of the building and how great that was.
Very lucky.
How
lucky.
Fortunate you were that not only do you have the Delaware Valley Opera Center itself, but you have the Art Nests next door, mm-hmm. which also hosts a lot of great artists and mm-hmm. music and mm-hmm. comedy. I saw Jonathan Charles Fox do his bit there, which was fantastic. But getting back to Giovanni, you mentioned some of the challenges. What were you most proud of with that show, Carol?
I think the quality of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was true to the piece. There were some modern ideas here and there, but it was true to the piece. And I think it was Don Giovanni.
Right.
100%. And I thought the diction wasn't too bad either.
No, the diction was good.
Yeah.
English is hard to sing in, so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was most proud with, of that it. We were able to do what we did in the quality for a budget of $100.
And you do pay your artists. I mean, that's important for people to know. That,
yeah, we're a professional company.
Yeah, you have a professional company. You're hiring professional singers, performers that are coming up. And you not only have to pay them, but you have to house them up here as well.
You have to house them.
Right. That's one of my hats.
Her lane.
So, many hats.
That's my lane.
We talked about this.
So we have several, I call them my platinum volunteers, that they always offer housing.
Mm.
And
there's no small gift.
That's no small gift.
No, it's
because
not.
It's about 10 days to 2 weeks. And that's a long time to have, quote unquote, a stranger in your home,
sure.
although they don't remain strangers for very long.
Right.
And we have several hosts now, the people that have with return singers, they're like, is Robbie coming this? I'll take Robbie.
Oh, wow.
So they ask them and they love them to come back and they get to be friends and they go and see them when they sing other places. That's happened several times.
That's wonderful.
A few fans.
Yeah. Yeah. You get fans.
That's
so
cool.
Yes. And I would put a plea out that it's an easy, in some respects, a very easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not in your house all that much because most of the time during the day, they're rehearsing.
Right.
And so if you think you would like to help us that way, we would be very happy to talk to you about it and make things easy for you.
Yeah. And you can go to their website to apply for that. You can sign up for not only see what's coming up as far as their season, but what other shows are being performed there, what other guests are coming musically. as well as you can see what's happening at the Arts Nest. Mm-hmm. But you can also donate. You can also sign up for this volunteerism because mm-hmm. there's a big aspect, not just the home part, giving, donating your, have someone come in living in your home. By the way, you also have to, in a lot of cases, be able to drive them back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I'm in charge of transportation too. So if they don't have, the artists come up quite often on the bus.
Okay.
So, and if that's not possible, then I'm the one that goes and picks them up. I'm the taxi service as well.
Okay. As we said, she wears many, many hats. Suzanne does.
If you have a talent, if you have a skill, if you have an interest, whatever it is, we could probably use it and mm-hmm. be very happy for it.
Because opera has a lot going on.
Yeah.
No matter what people are interested in, there's probably something we need.
There you go. Whether it be a carpenter or someone who's technically inclined.
Somebody who likes social media, somebody who likes fabrics, somebody who likes clothing, costumes.
Costuming, mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just you name it.
Yeah, which, by the way, you had some costumes on display at your gala.
And, yes, they were.
And yeah. They were beautiful. They were beautiful. Those were all made here by local folks.
No, we are very, very fortunate. We benefited from somebody else's misfortune, sort of. Mm-hmm. There were two ladies down in North Carolina who had a company. They did things that had to do with Queen Elizabeth I, because it's Raleigh, North Carolina, uh-huh. It was the Outer Banks and the first colony and all that kind of thing. And they did a lot of shows, educational shows and so forth, introducing people to who this person was and what history was like in those times. And they had a huge collection of Renaissance costumes built. And they donated their whole collection to us.
That's fantastic.
So we have... Wow. It's another reason I did Don Giovanni, because...
You had the costumes.
I had the costumes. But the ones that were shown off at the gala were some of these costumes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. That's yeah. great to have that. So that's something too, folks, if you have some mm-hmm. costumes
stuff,
or period mm-hmm. type pieces that mm-hmm. you think are just gathering dust in your attic, mm-hmm. they're very, very happy to accept them over at the Delaware Valley Opera Company. Acoustically, how are you finding the building itself?
Fabulous.
Yes. Yeah? Okay. Talk
about
that.
Which is why I won't let them do anything with the ceiling.
Okay.
Which is, they all hate it. Oh, look at it. It's lattice. It's disgusting. Don't touch it. Yeah. Don't touch it. Because the acoustics are great.
It's beautiful space. It really looks good and comfortable, too, because you got the couches and
anything
comfy chairs. And
mm-hmm. It's not highfalutin, as people think.
It's
not formal at all. Come in your jeans. Come in your flip-flops. Sit on the couch. Sit at a table.
Mm-hmm.
Have a snack. Have a drink while you're watching.
Well, that's kind of a good point, too. What is the biggest misconception that you think people have that you would like to dispel? You could do it right here, right now.
That you have to know something about it in order to enjoy it, and that it's not elite.
Yeah.
It can be.
Initially,
it certainly
it was
can
for the
be.
Masses, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's big. That's big. All right. So we're going to go now into this season because we got another great season coming up. We're going to start with Gilbert and Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Mikado, and this is defined more as an operetta. Okay, sort of the precursor to what musical theater has become. Give us a definition of the difference between an operetta and an opera.
Technically, an operetta has spoken word, has dialogue.
Okay.
It's come to be that opera's subject matter is also more dramatic than operetta. Operetta is usually fluffy and fun. But then you look at American musical theater and you go, I really don't think that all of it is musical theater. And you look at something like Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
Now, Sweeney Todd is an opera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody says.
It's a good way to explain it to people.
Because really
people
is
love
an opera.
That show. Yeah.
And there's mm-hmm. very little spoken word, if any. Most of it is sung or intuited or whatever.
I think West Side Story could be considered a modern American opera.
Yeah, it could. Uh-huh.
That's a good point. So an opera where what would be dialogue is mostly sung through
mm-hmm,
would
mm-hmm.
be more of an opera where is something in the Mikado where you do have spoken language mm-hmm. leading into a musical number.
Right.
Which is what mm-hmm. our musical theater is today, right?
It was in the old days. You look at something like Hamilton. Well, the rap is recitative. If you go and look at it, that's exactly what it's doing. It's in real time, and they're talking back and forth to each other. And then there's a number that stops time.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. I never even thought of it, really.
But that's exactly what it is. That there's no spoken words. It's all rap, which is all recitativo.
Wow.
Opera in the old days was the difference between vaudeville and something else.
Mm-hmm.
All these little opera houses all over the 1800s, all over town, like old Grand Ole Opry and all that kind of thing. Those little opera houses, they were for musicals and vaudeville and stuff like that. It wasn't highfalutin opera. Opera just meant a musical piece with a story.
Mm. So Mikado, it could be very well be defined as an introduction to opera itself. It's a very fun story. There's a lot of comedy in it.
Ridiculous story.
Right? We have funny named characters, and it's a story of confusion and people wanting to fall in love with people they're not supposed to fall in love with.
And I know, which never happens.
Never happens in musical theater or in anything we've seen. So really, it's a good way if you haven't or are afraid of or reluctant to see an opera, this is a good
very popular. It's like put your foot in the water instead of jumping in. That's the one to do.
That's the one to dip those toes in, test the water,
exactly,
see if you want to jump in.
You know, there are a lot of misconceptions about Gilbert and Sullivan.
And that's the other thing. Gilbert and Sullivan, there's so many songs that we know that when you hear them, you don't realize they were from Gilbert.
They come from whatever they come from.
Yeah. And their music tends to be, when you hear a lot of it, it's very fast-paced music.
Yeah, it's fun.
Very comedic as well.
It's very comedic.
So this is a great place, I think, for an entry level. You would agree.
Oh, yeah. Everybody likes this thing. We chose these two operas because they are the ones that were the most popular in the last 40 years.
Okay.
That we've done before.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah. What made you choose that? So, okay. So when does that open, the Mikado?
It opens on the 11th of July.
The 11th of July, and it runs until?
Yeah. 11, 12, 18, and 19 of July.
Okay. So that's coming up soon, folks, when you hear this show. And you can get tickets for the show by going again to that website.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, the website, DelawareValleyOpera.org or My River Tickets.
Or My River Tickets.
Or just come, and we've always got room at the door.
Yeah, because you got a big house.
That's what's nice about that room. We just pick up another chair.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the next show later on in the season, come August. It's Mozart's The Magic Flute. Now, this is more of a formal opera, correct?
Yes, and yet it's got dialogue. So.
And yet it's got dialogue, you said, in it.
Right.
What makes this show, it is, again, a piece that many people are familiar with. When they think of opera, oh yeah, I've heard of that. What do you think makes it so timeless, though, as far as...
Well, it is timeless, and it's the only opera that Mozart wrote that he didn't write it at commission for either royalty or aristocracy.
Mm.
It was written for a friend of his, a guy named Emanuel Schikaneder, and he had a theater in town and said, hey, I need another show. And I have this idea. So he wrote the lyrics of the story, and Mozart wrote the music, and it's completely different than anything else he ever wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very fantasy. It's got dragons and fairies and people who float around.
And magic instruments.
Magic instruments. Yes. It's kind of like the Marvel comics, the superhero people. They've got powers. Well, one of them's the power of the flute, and one's the power of the bells. They get through their problems with these magical instruments.
Mm-hmm.
It's timeless because it's about good and evil. It's all about light and dark.
Mm.
It's not about aristocracy and poor people. This one is really about greed, goodness, evil, good, bad.
Good, manipulation.
Right and wrong is really cultural, depending on people's morals and the culture's morals. But good and evil is good and evil, and they're both kind of interspersed in there. What's important about it is that it's really so universal, incredibly universal. It's all about family versus ruling the world.
Yeah.
Timely.
And as you say, fantasy and magic, and it's a quest. There's a quest involved.
Definitely a quest.
So again, the very popular themes that we see
all the time,
whether it be on television shows or superhero movies
or books,
reality shows. It's all
probably the most universal of human condition.
Yeah.
It's right there.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So these two shows were, you picked them for a reason, I would imagine, to fit within that artistic vision that you have for this show. So tell us how that does fit into that vision for the Delaware Valley Opera Company.
Well, the universality of the themes in Magic Flute. Mm-hmm. And this time we're not really doing it so fantastically. We're going to make a little more modern, put some more modern wash on it. And that will make it, I think, will make it even more accessible.
More relatable.
And much more relatable. And plus the music is just gorgeous. It's fabulous music. And who wouldn't want to go sit in an afternoon and hear that? And everybody knows the Queen of the Night's arias, at least one or two of them, with the high Fs everywhere.
High Fs.
High Fs, an F above high C. And we have a wonderful singer that's coming to do that. And so it's something for everybody.
So I also mentioned it's not just opera that you bring there. Of course, you collaborate with River Rep, their residency that you have there. They bring in an audience, which can also help introduce that audience to opera. And to the Arts Nest next door,
yes,
which is very important. And then other outside theaters coming in.
The space is rentable or usable. We don't ever want it to be dark. We don't want it when there's, it's great for dances. We've had kids' parties there that are fabulous.
Sure.
And then the kids just run around like crazy people. And
it's a beautiful space.
And the parents sit and drink beer. It's wonderful.
They can sit on the couches and just watch and guard the doors so they can't get out.
Yeah, they can't
enjoy
it. And it's 5,000 square feet that they can run around in. That's the theater is 5,000 square feet. Big space.
It is a big space, and it's a nice stage as well. Yeah. I mean, you got the audiovisual now, but you have that trap door.
We do. We
have a trap door.
Which I think
every, we have some lights and everything.
Every theater. Yeah. That's right. Lighting and their sound is better this year. I mean, they invested in microphones, I think, or
we
something.
We do. We got cordless mics and really good speakers for the first time.
The singers are not mic'd. No. The singers our singers are all acoustic.
Right.
Yeah. Which is the whole idea.
Of course. So the Arts Nest, too, I mentioned that a couple of times. That does offer a lot of things, from art exhibits to comedy to regular talks to bands, some music that comes in there.
A lot of singer-songwriters.
Singer-songwriters.
An open mic on Tuesdays.
Kathy Geary, one of our hosts here in the show, is very much a part of getting people into that space. So you have a space, both the main stage and the Arts Nest, that is very eclectic. So, yeah, so a lot of good things happening in our community.
Absolutely.
That is the part of this show that I really enjoy, is putting a spotlight on each one of you.
Which we all appreciate.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, sure. And then coming to see your shows as much as I can. So just a few last questions that I wanted to ask. Looking ahead, Suzanne, audiences who come for the first time and see one of your operas, what do you hope they take away with them from the show itself, but also from Delaware Opera Company? Valley Opera Company, I should say.
From the show itself, that they were entertained, that their hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, depending, was well spent, and they had a good time, that they might have learned something, that they were led to feel something. From being in the building, that they were welcomed and that we're friendly and that there's no judgment and anybody and everybody can come and everybody's different, but that makes such an amazing audience too. And so that's what I hope. And to tell us if they had a good time, go up to somebody that has got a name badge on and say, this was really good. I really liked it. Or I wish that something was a little, because we need feedback. We can't improve if we don't know what would be better for our audience.
That's a good point. So don't be afraid, folks, to walk up to somebody there.
And if I'm behind the bar, come and talk to me.
You say if, as if that's not a possibility. Every time I've been there, even for other pro, you're behind the bar.
We keep working, trying to get somebody who will.
Yeah, we're really looking for a bartender. No kidding. We would love to find somebody else to be the bartender. We really would.
We have to give up our extra hats.
So that's my wish.
You each wear many, many hats. And you have to with a theater company like this. Artistically, Carol, this will go to you. We talked about a lot of the past ambitions over the last 40 years. Creatively, what do you hope to realize in the next 40 years or the next 10?
What I would like to see happen is for us to get established where we could get enough money that we could actually heat the building. The big building is just prohibitively expensive.
Oh, sure. I can't even imagine.
So we have to kind of close down, which is a waste. And I think that would help us income-wise. But I think it also would help the community because it's not just about tourists. It's about people who live here.
Right.
I would like to see that happen and get enough established from a financial security point of view that we could actually hire some administrative leadership.
Okay.
Which I think it has to do eventually. And I'd like to see that sooner than later. 40 years is a long time to stay alive when you're dealing with nothing but volunteers.
Yeah.
To have any kind of consecutive idea of a business plan or that kind of thing. Everybody has a different idea. So when someone gets burnt out, somebody else comes in and changes everything and burns out. And somebody else comes in and changes and burns out. Mm. And there should be some, I think we're at a point that
some continuity. Think? Yeah.
We're kind of at a point where we've started doing some policy work.
Okay.
Which I think is really good, but it's very slow.
Yeah. And it's hard. Again, you mentioned mm-hmm. volunteers. It's mm-hmm. everybody has their own life as well.
And everybody in our organization is a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
No one is paid.
Yeah. Except the singers. Yeah.
Except the singers.
Except the singers.
Except the art.
And the orchestra.
Talent.
And the orchestra. Mm-hmm. When you have the orchestra.
When we have the orchestra.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's great goals. And I could see that where that would be needed. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned a number of times, both of you wear many hats. Mm-hmm. You have to. And that could be exhausted.
It is exhausting. It's full time.
It is.
I retired and got busier than I've ever been.
Yeah. I'm the same way. So I get it.
The good thing is that I'm busy with stuff I really love and I'm very devoted to.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way. But at the same time, it is tiring. A lot of work. I tell this a lot of people, how are you enjoying retirement? I'm enjoying it, but I'm working more than when I worked full time.
It's also very discouraging sometimes. It can be very discouraging. This era that we're in right now is very difficult.
Mm.
A lot of the grants have been cut.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that organizations that give grants, and particularly government ones, are not real sure about the future, so they're kind of holding back. Well, that means that every other 501c3 in the whole world is going to have no security for the future
and
has to hold back too. And you just can't stop. You've got momentum.
Right.
It's what's keeping you alive. So.
Right.
It's very difficult. The public really do need to say, I want this richness in my life. And we have so many very interesting and dedicated arts people in this community.
That's right.
It's astonishing.
It is.
It was.
We've got everything.
Yeah, I know. I was so surprised by it myself.
And more.
Yeah. Just the theater end of it. I was so surprised. And then as you get into the theater and you see mm-hmm. all the other stuff, the music, the dance, poetry.
If open mic for poetry.
Yeah.
Open mic for singer-songwriters. Some of them are incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah, and they live here.
It must be in the water.
or the air.
But the community needs it. It's vital to have that facet in the diamond. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't have to love it to know its value in the community or for the richness of our way of life. I mean, this is an incredible place to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're very, very fortunate.
Oh, we are very fortunate.
I like when you say a facet in the diamond because you're right. There are so many facets to the diamond.
And they're all important.
And they're all important, and they all create that one diamond.
That one shine,
That one shine. And certainly the Delaware Valley Opera Company is one of those facets.
It's the one in the middle. It's the one.
Thank you.
Yeah. The big, clear one there. Yeah. That's very, very nice. Well, let one more time, if people want to get tickets to see the Mikado, which is coming up on the dates again, mm-hmm. either one of you, you give me the dates and the times as well.
Here I go.
Okay, here she goes. She got it written down.
I don't have a good mind for numbers. The Mikado opens on the 11th of July. It's two weekends, 11, 12, 18, 19. Saturday nights at 7. Sunday afternoons at 2.
Okay.
And a Magic Flute is in August, opens on the 15th, Saturday night, 15th, 16th, 22nd, and 23rd.
Perfect. And as far as your website is concerned, where people can buy these tickets, mm-hmm. or myriverticket.com as well,
mm-hmm.
but let's get them to your website. Give that again.
Simple, all lowercase, Delaware Valley Opera, all one word, .org.
DelawareValleyOpera.org, mm-hmm. where you can find not only a way to purchase tickets, but you can also find out about all the great things that are going to be going. Go ahead, Suzanne.
No, yes, absolutely. that are coming up.
Yep, all
There's
the great
also
things.
An archive on that website of every show we've ever done.
That's right. So if you missed some of the shows that we talked about from last season,
I want to get an idea of what the quality is like.
You could tune in right there and just download it and watch it at your leisure.
You can.
Or is it leisure?
A lot of potato today.
Yeah, there is. So anyway, so that's a great way of getting to know the Delaware Valley Opera Companies, going to the website, seeing what's going on there, seeing all their shows. And there's also, you'll see the Arts Nest there as well. And there's what I like about your website is it's very easy to see all the things. You got up that sidebar almost on the right where it shows you every single show that's coming right there. You don't have to search for anything. You just go and you click on the one that you're interested in. It pops up.
That's right.
And then you could purchase tickets for that. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, I want to thank both of you for coming today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have both of you here and to learn more about the Delaware Valley Opera. And, of course, even open up my mind to opera. Because I'll admit, too, that I've had in my head, opera, it's am I going to understand it? But the way you folks do it, it is very understandable, very accessible. And you do shows that are a lot of fun. And that's the important thing is, and we're to entertain, to educate. Mm-hmm. We hadn't talked too much about education, but that's a big part of what you do as well. Mm-hmm. Simply going to see the show is a great way to support these companies.
Oh, it's a very important way to support.
Yeah, yeah, because every production, whether it be theater, dance, art, whatever it might be, needs an audience.
Yes.
Without an audience, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. Needs an audience, and you folks, your listeners, are the audience. And thank you, those of you who do support the arts, because there are a lot. I mean, there is so much theater and art and music here in our community because of the people who come out to see it. Mm-hmm. Because if they weren't there, if they didn't support it, you'd have no theater company.
That's right.
So again, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, I'd certainly like to sing the praises of the Delaware Valley Opera for not only surviving, but thriving for the past 40 years. You see what I did there, right? Sing the praises. Mm-hmm. Certainly what began as a small grassroots effort has grown into a respected professional company, introducing audiences to opera, nurturing young artists, fostering community partnerships, and proving that great art can flourish right here in the Sullivan County area. My thanks once again to Suzanne Dvorkin and Carol Castell for joining me in studio today and for sharing the story behind the remarkable organizations. And of course, Delaware Valley Opera is just one of the many companies helping keep the performing arts vibrant in our region. So let's take a look now at what else is playing on the stages throughout our community in the days and weeks ahead. Of course, the Delaware Valley Opera continues its 40th anniversary season with Gilbert and Sullivan's beloved operetta, The Mikado. Performances are Saturday, July 11th and the 18th at 7 p.m., and Sunday, July the 12th and the 19th at 2 p.m. Ticket information can be found at myrivertickets.com and DelawareValleyOpera.org. At the Sullivan County Dramatic Workshop, performances will begin for Jekyll and Hyde, the musical that will run July the 10th through the 19th. For ticket information, you visit onthestage.com or search Sullivan County Dramatic Workshop. That will show you all the shows that are coming up for them and links there for tickets and other information. Over at the Hurleyville Performing Arts Center, Jonathan Charles Fox returns with his one-man show, Close Encounters of the Jonathan Kind. That'll be performing Saturday, July 11th at 8 p.m., joined by That Dog Gidget and musical guest Chuck Vassallo. Jonathan promises an evening of stories, laughter, and surprises. And I can tell you from seeing his last show, Operation Jonathan, it's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets and information can be found at hpacny.org. At Shadowland Stages in Ellenville, Around the World in 80 Days continues through July the 12th, followed by Neil Simon's classic comedy, Brighton Beach Memoirs, running July 17th through August 9th. Ticket information is available at shadowlandstages.org. Meanwhile, the Forestburg Playhouse continues its summer season with The Bridges of Madison County through July the 12th, followed by the Tony Award-winning musical Dear Evan Hansen. That's going to be a great show. That runs July 14th through July the 26th. Ticket and information, visit fbplayhouse.org. Now, for those of you who might be looking to get involved rather than simply attend theater, Phoenicia Playhouse will hold auditions for Young Frankenstein on July the 15th and the 16th. The production is scheduled for October, so there's plenty of time to rehearse that show. More information can be found at PhoeniciaPlayhouse.com. Looking even further ahead, Farm Arts Collective will present Dream on the Farm number 7, and this one is called Johnny Appleseed, a Historical Fantasia. Performances beginning July the 30th and will continue through August the 2nd. For details and tickets, you can visit farmartscollective.org. You'll also see all the other events, non-theater events that are occurring throughout the summer over at Farm Arts over in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Now, before I go tonight, I'd like to take a moment to look ahead to a special episode that is really meaningful to me. On July 13th, Curtain Call will present a special tribute to Harold Tye. Now, Harold's passion, dedication, and unwavering commitment to community theater touched countless lives throughout our region, particularly through his many years with the Sullivan County Dramatic Workshop. Through the voices of family members, friends, fellow directors, actors, and actresses, we're going to celebrate the life and legacy of a man whose impact on our theater community continues to be felt today. And we lost Harold suddenly this past winter. And so that tribute is going to be a wonderful thing to remember him by. Coming up next week on Monday, July 6th, my guest will be Jonathan Charles Fox, and we will discuss a lot about that upcoming show of his, Close Encounters of the Jonathan Kind. So that should be a lot of fun. Jonathan is always a great guest, great person to sit down and talk with. And beyond that, stay tuned for many more conversations here on Curtain Call with local artists, performers, directors, playwrights, creators, along with future visits to New York City, including highlights from the New Dramatist Luncheon that I was invited to, honoring Stephen Schwartz. And I did have the opportunity to interview Stephen Schwartz. And there's going to be a lot of other special events from the wider theater world coming up in the weeks and months to come, so stay tuned for that. If you missed any portion of tonight's program or any previous episode of Curtain Call, you'll find them all archived at wjffradio.org. And you can also find them wherever you enjoy your favorite podcast, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So that's going to be it for this night. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. I do appreciate you. I do appreciate your listening and your comments. And do, if you have any comments or suggestions or you want to be on the show, you can email me at tom@wjffradio.org. So until next time, folks, have a great evening, and I'll see you at the theater.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, presenting Paul Simon in concert on the Pavilion Stage, July 3rd. Tickets on sale now. Ticket information at bethelwoodscenter.org.
This is Radio Catskill, and an extreme heat watch is in effect from Wednesday morning through Friday evening for Sullivan, Delaware, Ulster, and Orange counties in New York, and Pike and Wayne counties in northeastern Pennsylvania. Heat index values could reach 105 degrees, increasing the risk of heat-related illness. Drink plenty of water, stay in air-conditioned spaces when possible, avoid strenuous outdoor activity during the hottest part of the day, and check on elderly relatives and neighbors. This is Radio Catskill.
With Morning Edition from NPR News, you don't have to wonder where your information is coming from, because we tell you. Get your news straight from the source every weekday.
Weekday mornings starting at 5 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF, Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.